a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, it is indeed a welcome to the place where secrets are shared, dignity is occasionally misplaced, and proof that whatever you've done in life, someone has probably done it worse. It's the Greatest Hits Radio Confessions podcast.
That's so it is.
Recorded in front of a live audience. Sister yeah. Susie's back in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matt's in the gutter.
Indeed.
Sister Solly. Sister Solly is guarding the cupboard of tat.
Absolutely.
In a moment, we're going to be stopping at the parish notice board for all the latest notices and five-star reviews. We'll also head to the not-for-broadcast section, and we're going to have all the confessions that featured this week on Drive Time, which is, as you know, between 4 and 7, Monday to Friday, including T-Bandit's Revenge. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to get on with me neighbours? Dean's Tales sending out an SOS. And Windy Miller's confession, four strong winds. But first we start with a confession that raises the issue of what exactly is counted as personal effects. It's Joe's confession, twisting the night away.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So today's confession, I think, has a 12 certificate.
Oh.
And it comes from Joe, J-O. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. When I was 25 and working in a remote village, my senior colleague, let's call him Bill, suddenly became unwell and had to be taken to hospital. Now, just to reassure you at this point, he made a full recovery and his ailment is nothing to do with my confession.
Right.
Okay.
My other colleague, let's call her Sue, went with Bill to the hospital and I stayed behind to work. A couple of days later, he contacted me asking me to go into his house and to collect his, what he called, personal effects and some clothing maybe to give to a courier. I had never heard of this term, personal effects, before. The naive 25-year-old that I was, instead of asking for clarification or even Googling the term, which obviously didn't exist... or just ask somebody. I went happily into his house looking for his personal effects. Honing in on the personal element of the phrase, I looked in his drawers and cupboards, wondering what personal items he would like to be removed from his house and sent to hospital. What could he possibly be wanting from me? It was in a particularly well-hidden spot that I came across an envelope of photographs.
Oh, no.
The photographs were of several people, including himself.
Oh, what?
All of whom had appeared to have forgotten their clothes.
Oh, had they?
And they appeared to be playing a game of some sort. It wasn't Cluedo. It was more like Twister or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was very hot and there was a lack of clothing and they were just keeping cool. Even so, Father Sam, I confess I had never seen anything like it.
No.
Aha, I thought, this must be the personal items that he wants removed from his house, perhaps in case his family were to stumble upon them, that kind of thing. I packed a large variety of clothing along with his personal photographs. I was shocked, Father Simon. This was Lincolnshire. We don't do that kind of thing.
No, we don't. No.
The next day, a courier came to collect the bag and I called Sue to let her know. I reassured her that I'd found something very personal, but it was on its way, as requested. If it was personal effects he wanted, I'd certainly found them.
Yeah.
Sue asked what I meant, and I explained about the game of Twister. Oh, Joe, no. She said, he meant his toothbrush and nail clippers. That's personal effects. It was then that the panic and dread hit me. I had made a terrible mistake. Sue, I pleaded, you have to remove the photographs from his bag before he gets it. So this second bit of the story was told to me by Sue. When the courier arrived at the hospital, a member of staff brought the bag to the room. Ah, the bag, exclaimed Sue quickly, waving her arms around and dancing to cause a distraction. Bill asked for the bag and Sue did her best to delay, asking if he was thirsty and pouring him a drink, checking if he was comfortable and rearranging his pillow, anything to get him to look in the other direction so she could unzip the bag. Oh, look over there, there's something going on. What, says Bill. Have you seen this YouTube video of cats singing? What, says Bill. Would you like a polo mint? Yes, okay, says Bill. Anyway, miraculously, she did manage to unzip the bag and remove the photographs before it was handed over to Bill, who was getting increasingly irritated by this woman and was more annoyed when he saw the vast quantities of clothing that I'd sent him and lack of personal effects, the actual personal effects. But he would have been even more annoyed had his Twister photographs come to light. That's what I think. Back they went, second drawer down just under the socks, in case he's still looking for them. So please forgive me for undertaking a task before understanding exactly what was being asked of me, and in doing so, accidentally uncovering a large pack of racy photographs and sending them to the hospital. Matron would not have been impressed. No, well, that's certainly true. I don't think they do matrons anymore, do they? Anyway, that's today's story. I mean, and it's a shocker of a story. Sister Susie, what do you say to Joe?
Oh, I've got lots of things to say to everybody here, really. I think Joe was trying their best. I feel like Bill could have been clearer, couldn't he? He could have just written a list. Just, you know, write a list. I want my toothbrush, some pyjamas, some pants.
What is personal effects? But personal effects does mean what's in your toilet bag, doesn't it? That's what it is. Toothpaste, toothbrush, flannel, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you can't get it wrong if you give a specific list, can you? You can't get it wrong if you give a list.
So it's like Bill, his fault.
Well, yeah, maybe should have written a list. But also, Joe also went a bit too far rummaging, if you ask me.
Yes.
There was a bit too much finding and looking in all of the drawers. But it did make me laugh, and I think that's one of the best ones we've had for a while. So I'm going to forgive Joe, because the embarrassment there must have been high enough.
You're never quite sure what you're going to find rummaging in someone else's drawers. But in this case, who'd have thought it? Game of Twister.
Who'd have thought?
What Lincolnshire does summer?
Yeah. That's entirely up to them. I'm going to forgive, because that was the funniest one we've done in a while. Also, yes, I agree. Bill should have been clearer. I don't understand what personal effects means either, but I mean, obviously it doesn't mean that. But does it mean toothbrush? Just say toothbrush then. Send me a toothbrush and nail. Who needs nail clippers? I don't know how fast are your nails growing. Not that fast. Toothbrush, I understand. Though, and maybe a washcloth, something like that. Yes, definitely not those pictures. Goodness me,
that's not what he meant.
So good. Please make sure you send those pictures of me playing Twister with the rest of Lincolnshire
with my very hot friends. Is that pampas grass outside?
Oh dear.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So, do you think nail clippers are personal effects?
I don't. I mean, who needs nail clippers for that? I mean, how long are you going to be in there?
Well, you don't know.
Your nails aren't going to grow that much, surely.
Well, they might do, you know.
You don't need to
have
your nails.
Maybe they were really long to start with.
When I go on holiday, I bring nail clippers.
So if I said, Holly, go to the shops and before you go on holiday, just buy some things for your personal effects, what would you buy?
Oh, goodness.
Do you know the term?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I would presume toiletries, I suppose, I think is probably what I would go with.
I think so. And also, you can't buy personal effects, because they're not your personal effects, are they? They're Boots's personal effects.
Susie's done some research.
Oh, here we go.
It says, personal effects refers to items belonging to and used by an individual, like clothing, jewellery, toiletries, and small, portable belongings, often with sentimental or intimate value, commonly used in customs, legal, or moving contexts to differentiate them from household goods or commercial items.
Well, in that case, they were of intimate value.
Yes, they were.
So they sort of worked?
If it's not a family member, because they didn't know this person, then...
They worked with them, imagine
that.
Yeah,
well, that's why it's weird.
I'm not coming round to your house and getting anything out of your sock drawer.
Exactly. Do not open that envelope, Holly. Not that envelope.
Anyway,
there was mixed reaction and confusion on the people's verdict.
Not forgiven, says Patricia in Epsom. Even if you don't know what personal effects are, why on earth would you assume that if someone's in hospital, they'd want naked pictures, poor bloke?
Susie, you brought up the point as to why he might have been asking for the photos in the first place.
Well, yeah, because I just thought maybe the one occasion where he would want them is if he wasn't sure whether he was going to make it.
Yes.
And he would want them out of the house.
Yes.
Not as Matt suggested, that he wants to see them one more time.
Terminal.
Ask someone out. Don't ask. I must ask my colleague of the opposite sex to go and get those incriminating pictures
maybe
of me.
Panic.
Yes. Let's make sure. No. Send Joe. That'll be fine. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, all good fun.
Now
it's time to turn our eyes away from the filth that we actually broadcast. yep. this week to the parish notice board, where Matt finds lots of praise for himself.
Yes, I do. Neil says, 5 stars, great start to the year, another 5-star episode. I will say the wife and I do show PDAs. Oh dear, where's this going?
The wife and I
do show PDAs, the modern use of the term, purely to embarrass our children. It makes us laugh so much, okay?
No.
Enough of that, Neil, that's enough. Chris Stamp says, 5 stars.
Does your wife have a name?
Yes.
Yes,
she does. Chris Stamp says, you are back, but I am late. Great to find you again, Simon and the gang. I've started listening from the start. 107 confessions. Matt is so funny in bold. Always forgiving everyone and quite right too.
Quite right too.
Never mind, Chris. Simon and the vocal dexterity, and then the voice of sense, always not forgiving.
I love how Susie and I just the voice of sense. We don't get a name voice of sense.
Find myself laughing out loud when walking the dogs and driving. I started listening to the old confessions on the dark side, but now it's all new and happy. Keep up the good work. Don't go anywhere again. Not our choice, Chris. But anyway,
yeah, we didn't choose
much.
Last time.
Taxi Man Ben says 5 billions gold stars.
Wow. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Yes. 5 billions gold stars.
Yeah. 5 billion of them.
No,
there you go.
5 billion.
Like 5 billion. He's saying 5 billions, though, isn't he?
5 billions.
So it's even better. Well done, Taxi Man Ben. Father Simon and the Magnificent Righteous Medley and Matt.
Yes.
Feels like I'm not part of the Magnificent Righteous Medley. Mm. Anyway. Wow, what can I say? Used to listen to this. This is Taxi Man Ben's having a nightmare. Wow, what can I say?
I used to listen.
Pause. I used to listen to this when it was on the dark side, another one of them. But now, with greatest hits, it's back and it's as good as ever. I have this in my taxi all the time, so spreading the good word of confessions. Well done. Even had passengers sign up for it, as they have loved what they've heard while in the taxi.
Keep up the good work.
Keep up the chuckles coming. Keep up the chuckles, because that doesn't make any sense either, Taxi Man Ben. I would read them again, Taxi Man Ben, before you post the next one.
Taxi Man Ben dictated it into his phone.
Yeah.
And that's the way that happened. But I like the idea of getting into a taxi, and the guy, and Ben is, he's got us on, and people go, hey, this is quite hilarious. I need to sign up to this.
Absolutely. We should have like Taxi Driver of the Week, who forces his passengers to download our confessions.
That's right. Yeah. And this week's winner is Taxi Man Ben.
Well done, Ben.
Nice.
Susie, you've selected something, I believe, from the notice board.
Yes. So I've got an email from our archive attendant from the crypt, Tom. He says, ahoy, hoy, Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly. Ella wrote in a couple of weeks ago and mentioned her favourite past confession involving a young lad who ended up in handcuffs on Christmas Eve. You were struggling to remember the details, so I had a rummage around the relics to shed some light. It was from December 2017, as Sarah put her 5-year-old son, Neil, to bed on Christmas Eve. He was given the strict instructions that if he woke up in the night, he was under no circumstances to wake his mother, father, or 2-year-old sister until 6 a.m. at the earliest. Despite this, Neil came a knocking on his parents' bedroom door at 2:45, 4:30, 4:50, and 5:10, each time being rebuffed back to bed by his mum.
Yep.
Finally, at 5:30, she opened the door and asked Neil what he had to say for himself, and he held out his hands to reveal he'd accidentally locked himself in some toy handcuffs he'd found in his Christmas stocking. The confession was a cracker. And he says in brackets, ba-bum, tss.
Although
we can't listen to the original broadcast together, we can always reminisce on the notice board. Much love, Tom, the archive attendant.
So the poor kid had just, well, he'd obviously gone against the instructions, but he was coming in because he wanted to be freed from the...
Released
from his chains.
Oh, yes. Who's that reminds of?
I think that's what had happened. Anyway, so thank you very much indeed. For sending us that. You keep your additions to the parish notice board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Elaine, listening from a gym in Lanzarote. Mr. Paney, Eddie Howard, Mr. Sean Warren, one word for some reason, Sarah Jane. They were amongst the people who get in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Cat Flap and the Mushrooms. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this particular podcast, if he's actually thought of one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's time for the rather grubby part of the show, the not-for-broadcast, the Mark Knopfler section, starting with you, Bob. Bob, your confession begins as a perfectly normal house viewing after a long drive, but anyone listening will sense trouble the moment we mention the bathroom. What followed involved poor ventilation, an ill-advised decision, and what you casually describe as doing a Donald, a phrase which repurposes the name of the president of...
Oh, I see. Right, okay. Yeah. No,
in a way, I'm fairly sure he never intended. But it's not trumping as in making a sound.
No.
It's rhyming slang. Having a trump.
Having a bump?
Dump.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
So, fine.
So doing
good.
A Donald.
Good, good. Yeah. Okay, got it, yes.
Anyway, there was basically, well. There was too much poo involved.
We don't do that. So sorry.
We moved on to you, Jerry. Your confession involves a locked building, a security camera that was definitely on, and a decision that felt like a shortcut at the time but looked suspiciously like trespassing. What followed is a frantic exit, a lot of whispered swearing, and the realisation that you may technically have committed a crime. And it is for that reason that it cannot be included in this podcast or on this show.
Indeed.
Because if you break the law, then it can't be included.
No, that's true. Those are the rules.
Except that, I just wonder, if it's a member of your family, do you look on it any differently? So say, for example, I broke into my uncle's house.
Yeah, we've done those kind before, haven't we?
Technically...
It is, isn't it?
But is that the same? Would that get on? I think it probably would.
Yes.
Mm. Well, it depends. I think it depends.
If you're smashing
you're
a window or something, then no.
But if I'm doing it just to be warm and fluffy, then okay. Anyway, it's a moral dilemma.
It is.
I can't be bothered with it anymore. Let's get back to the confessions that made it onto the show. Tuesday's confession. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to get on with me neighbours?
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So today's confession comes from T-Bandit. That's how it's signed. T-Bandit sends this telling Father Simon and the purveyors of pardon. I'm seeking forgiveness for a series of sinful acts that first took place just a few years ago. Our family live in a leafy Buckinghamshire town, more specifically on a pleasant road of semi-detached houses, the sort where street parties for jubilees and community clapping for the NHS takes place. Neighbourly friendship and consideration were strong. In the autumn of 2021, our immediate neighbours moved house, and a new, younger couple moved in. The customary bottle of wine was taken round, pleasantries exchanged, and they mentioned they'd be having a moving-in party the following weekend, apologising in advance for any inconvenience. It was therefore no surprise to find a myriad of parked cars the following Saturday, the barbecue and music playing to what must have been close to 30 people enjoying the afternoon sunshine. Despite their close proximity and possibly due to the effects of drinking, some guests felt the need to communicate exclusively through shouting.
Ah.
The loudest was a lady who clearly took great pride in her appearance and sported an elaborate haircut that must have taken hours to arrange. Paired with her shrill shrieks and frequent cackling, she bore a striking resemblance to Mrs. Faulty, so we shall call her Sybil for the purposes of this tale. By 10 p.m. the music had died down, but the volume of conversation remained at a level Nigel Tufnell of Spinal Tap would have considered ambitious. While some guests had left and others gone inside, Sybil was clearly a smoker and would audibly reappear every 15 minutes for a cigarette. Her language was colourful, not suitable for your tea time listeners. Our children were primary school aged, and the long bedtime routine was punctuated by little faces reappearing to complain that they couldn't sleep because of the noise. When my wife and I finally went to bed, just after midnight, the party had largely fizzled out, but the metronomic reappearance of Sybil continued until 3 a.m.
Wow.
When we eventually dozed off. This is very, very annoying behaviour.
Yes.
The next morning I awoke tired but prepared, in the spirit of neighbourliness, to let things go. However, coming downstairs, I sensed my wife's ire. As a keen gardener, she was outraged to find her prized flowers by the fence covered in ash.
Oh, no.
With around 20 lipstick-stained cigarette butts nestled along the foliage, it was clear Sybil had been using our garden as an ashtray.
Ugh.
As a seasoned husband, I read the warning signs and decided a trip to the local garden centre might defuse the situation. The plan worked. with the purchase of a new garden irrigation system and an alarming quantity of exotic bulbs, the crisis was averted. Father Simon, there'd be nothing to confess if the story ended here. However it transpired, Sybil was the sister of one of our neighbours, and her visits were far more regular than anticipated. When we learnt she was going to be house-sitting while they were away, the plan, for which I seek forgiveness, was hatched. As with all things these days, the aforementioned irrigation system was rather sophisticated and could be controlled from an app, allowing the tap to be turned on and off at will. It also came with spare hoses and nozzles. After installation, I had about 5 metres of hose left over. It was a simple job to route this up the drainpipe and out of the gutter between our houses. I can attest that with the correct angling, the wide spray nozzle delivers a fine mist at ground level, the sort of precipitation wholly incompatible with a fine haircut.
Ah.
When Sybil took up residence the following week, I wasn't surprised to see extra cars appear. One evening, as darkness fell, I heard the creak of the patio door next door. Like an overly excited teenager, I immediately hit the on button on my new system. Moments later, there was a shriek, and Sybil retreated indoors, no doubt staring into the darkness, confused by the sudden change in weather. Father Simon, I've never felt so powerful. Whenever Sybil became too noisy, we sent her straight back inside with a simple tap of the screen. It reached the stage where my family could bet on how many seconds it would take between activation and hearing the patio door slam. The fastest retreat was just 6 seconds. Obviously, I do not seek forgiveness from Sybil. After all, we helped her cut down on a dirty habit.
Yes, that's
a dirty, dirty habit, while saving the wider neighbourhood's blushes. However, I do seek forgiveness from the neighbours 2 doors along, who had no such relief and endured her soirees through their party wall instead. You'll be pleased to know the relationship with our neighbours has flourished since, though the risk of precipitation when Sybil visits remains oddly higher than the Met Office forecast. I realise now that absolute power, especially when Wi-Fi enabled, does tend to corrupt absolutely. Well, there's definitely a life lesson there, a philosophical lesson, I think, from T-Bandit. Imagine that you have on your phone, you have the app to spray this woman with finely honed water. I think that's a very, very good idea. Nothing to forgive, really. Oh, yes, Sister Susie, sorry. Yes. That's nothing to do with me. It's your call. What do you think?
Well, I do hear what you're saying, and Sybil does sound very annoying, and particularly throwing her, you know, ashtray into your garden doesn't sound very nice. And I understand why you may do it once to teach her a lesson. However, doing it all of those times, is it really, really, really necessary?
Yes, I think
she may have learned her lesson after the first one or two. And I just think you go past the getting your own back into a bit mean category for me. Mm. So I'm not going to forgive, no.
Put the fag out or I spray you with a fantastic hose.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's the deal.
Yes. And I think the nation stands with me when I say forgiven tonight, because Sybil absolutely had it coming, inconsiderate and thick, because she still can't work it out. She doesn't know that it's only ever raining in that spot. How has she not spotted that the rain is coming from a hose pipe above her head? Inconsiderate and thick. Sybil. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Inconsiderate and thick. Yes, classic Matt. Of course, mixed reaction on the people's verdict, including this one, which made Matt find his funny voice again.
But Adam in Litchfield says 100% forgiven. Sybil sounds very annoying throwing her spent cigarettes into the pot. I bet she thinks her weather app is a little bit faulty. T-Bandit is very clever. I think he got his revenge down to a T.
I think he did, yes. And still to come, it's Dean's Tales sending out an SOS. But first, it's Windy Miller's confession. 4 Strong Winds.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Windy Miller. That's how it's signed. If you remember your children's television,
I do,
where we are. Father Simon, I'm not going to use my real name. So Windy Miller it is. My confession takes me back nearly 45 years to the 80s, when permed hair, blue eyeliner, Jackie magazine and ski pants were the uniform of my life, just like Matt's, actually.
Yeah. Ski pants.
However, not on this particular day, the day which has haunted me for decades. This day, Father Simon, I was definitely in school uniform, sat in the prestigious position in the top row of our high school theatre with my form. It was, our weekly school assembly. Quite a boring affair, which did tend to drag on with the school orchestra and the school choir, various announcements, the odd hymn, and then the SWATS ceremony, as the world and his wife were invited up to receive their merits and awards for sport, academic achievements and showing off. You know the way it is.
Okay.
All presented by none other than the headmaster himself. He was actually a great guy. He was the head of the senior year, Brunhilde, that was to be feared. A lady of voluptuous proportions who seemed even more scary on assembly days as she cast her beady eyes around the theatre looking for her next chatting victim. On this particular day, Father Simon, I was a tad unwell with a cold, a streaming nose and a gruff-sounding voice. The assembly seemed to drag on more than usual. But finally, the last hymn finished, the theatre fell silent, and the headmaster took to the centre of the stage, clutching a raft of merit awards. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I felt my nose tickle. I grabbed my tissues, and I tensed my body for an almighty sneeze, and then, out of nowhere, I'm afraid to say that I broke wind.
Oh!
Wow.
I could keep the sneeze in, but I could not keep anything else in.
Oh, dear.
That's under control and the other end.
No.
Yeah, one of them.
Immediately, all my classmates started laughing, with those nearest to me holding their sides and trying to compose themselves. I was mortified. I couldn't deny it. It was me, and I was so embarrassed. It was a good job it was the darker end of the hall, up at the top of the theatre, as my face said it all. I was blushing very badly. I'd only sneezed, Father Simon. How could this have happened? How could have I had such little control at such a young age? The whole school turned to look at our class, who by now all knew what I had done and were trying not to laugh too, without success. The headmaster, certificate aloft for the 1500-metre champion, cleared his throat, gazed up to our year and shouted, "Class 5DS, is there something amusing, do tell? Please enlighten the rest of us." The theatre fell silent. The head tapped his foot. Brunhilde's head was up off her seat. Not that her head was on the seat, but, you know, she jumped from her seat.
Jump up. Yeah.
And she was standing, hands on hips. I just wanted the ground to swallow me up. Father Sam, we were all silent. My friend nudged me to own up, but how could I? What would I say in front of the whole school? The assembly finished, and we were all allowed to return to class. I felt dreadful, Father Sam. Not only had I stopped the assembly and actually parked in front of the boys, terrible thing to do, big red face.
Yeah.
But I couldn't blame anyone else, which you can obviously normally do when you're in a group of people. It's all anyone could talk about. Anyway, due to my awful cold and the fact I had a temperature, I was allowed to go home later that morning, and I never wanted to go back to school ever again.
Mm-hmm.
When I did return a couple of days later, this sorry episode continued. I found out that during the day that I went home, that at form registration after lunch, our form teacher dutifully announced the whole class was in detention for disrupting the assembly.
Wow.
The teacher was informed by multiple people that I had let out a mighty ripper, but he was having none of it.
Oh, no!
Are you blaming the sick? Are you blaming the sick? He bellowed, "Shame on you, 5DS. Shame on you." I think he said it like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ray Winston.
Ray Winston was the teacher.
There.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, Class 5DS were placed on detention that day all because of me. On the day of my return, I was asked to stay behind by my form teacher. And once everyone had gone, he asked me what had happened. I did confess that, yes, I'd let Polly out of prison, but... Not an expression I'd heard before.
No.
But I didn't do it on purpose. It was indeed my cold and a side effect of the sneeze. He tried not to laugh, but the twitching of his mouth gave it away and I hung my head in shame. He said I should have told him. I couldn't, Father Simon. It was all too embarrassing. I even had to see Brunhilde, the scary head of senior year, who was slightly less forgiving and was sure I'd done it on purpose, as if that were even possible. Is it possible? No, I don't think it is.
No.
I seek forgiveness, Father Sam, to my classmates who had to endure a huge detention whilst I was tucked up in home, and to the winner of the 1500-metre track award who had a longer-than-normal wait for the certificate due to my cold and my wind.
Mm.
Yours faithfully, Windy Miller. I mean, did Windy do it? I mean, would you have owned up, Sister Suze? I'm not sure.
I can't think of anything more embarrassing to do in an assembly full of all your peers and forever to be probably known as Windy Miller. So I feel for Windy Miller here because you just don't want to be in their shoes, do you? Or nearby. And I just think I'm going to forgive you. Then no harm done. You couldn't help it. You weren't very well. Embarrassing enough. Forgiven.
Letting Polly out of prison? Is that a thing?
I've not heard of that one before. But that's a lovely painting pictures with words.
Isn't lovely.
Yes, maybe it's a regional thing. Or maybe it was an 80s thing.
It could be an 80s thing, couldn't it, Polly?
To go with the ski pants.
And Heidi High, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Brother Matthew.
So I'm going to forgive. Number one, I mean, obviously, you know, he's not to blame at all. He's sneezing and something happened. Yeah. And he's not to blame for the rest of the class laughing. That's up to the rest of the class, their reaction. And collective punishment for them all. I think we know my feelings on the collective punishment. I don't think that's fine at all. Why is the head of senior year getting involved in this from someone breaking? Really? You're going to spend your time over someone breaking wind? Isn't that Ofsted on the phone? Surely deal with them first.
I don't think Ofsted had been invented.
I'm going to say that they had. And for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Disconnected Dean. That's how he signs it.
Right.
Disconnected Dean. A most holy Simon of Mayo and the ever judicious collective, I come before you today burdened by a sin that took 14 hours to gestate and approximately 5 seconds to ruin my standing with the Spanish Civil Guard.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Which is an interesting setup. The year is 2001. I was the insufferably proud owner of a Nokia 3310, a Duplo brick of pure Scandinavian communication power that could survive a nuclear blast and still play Snake. My father, however, was a technological, conscientious objector, having retired to, is it Murcia in Spain?
Murcia
in Spain, with his wife, my stepmother. He lived a peaceful life of San Miguel, other beers, but mainly San Miguel, and sunshine, until I, in my late 20s arrogance, convinced him that he needed a mobile phone for emergencies. I flew out to see my old man for a couple of nights. The following evening, my stepmother permitted the lads to frequent the local bars to put the world to rights. He then showed me his new Alcatel mobile phone. It had the processing power of a toaster and a significant ringtone problem. Despite keeping his new mobile in his breast pocket, he swore that if it ever buzzed, the shock alone would induce a cardiac event. He lived in mortal terror of the aggressive vibration setting. Whilst at the porcelain altar, I believe it's called, a brilliant idea struck me. I decided to test the cross-border SMS messaging speed, and I went about preparing a simple one-word message to my dad, who merely sat 20 meters away in the bar. With no predictive text to assist typing a word, it was easiest to type in capital letters, and for a creative character flair, I added an exclamation mark to complete my message. I typed, rather unwisely, "heart attack!" exclamation mark, then hit send. Done. Well, a verified chuckle. I felt confident I could add a bit of humour to our evening. I then joined my father for another large beer and then waited for him to respond to an incoming text message on his mobile, which remained tucked in his shirt pocket. Now, in 2001, communication technology was fickle. My message didn't travel metres. It went from Murcia, to a satellite, back to a server in the UK, got stuck behind a digital queue of Big Brother voting results and vanished into the ether. Where the message went, I do not know. We drank more, we wobbled home, I forgot. Subsequently, I completely forgot. And I even forgot that the message existed. The next morning, nursing a head that felt like it was being played by a percussion ensemble, my father and stepmother dropped me off at Murcia Airport for my return flight to Gatwick. Passing through security and passport control, I waited for my flight. I had 2 hours to kill. I found a quiet area, trying to get comfortable, slumped into a seat, fired up a DVD on my laptop, and donned a large pair of headphones. 10 minutes into the film, I was engrossed and I was motionless. Suddenly, out of the blue, several pairs of black leather military boots appeared around my laptop screen. I took off my headphones to the sound of Spanish shouting. I looked up to see a phalanx of the Guardia Civil, hands on holsters. Standing among the thick-soled black boots, I spotted a pair of little white espadrilles that my father also wore. Looking up, it was him. He looked like he'd been dug up from his very own grave. In a panicked voice, he said, "Are you all right, son?" He was visibly stressed and naturally looking very worried. I instantly replied, "Of course I am. Are you? Why are you here?" And it turned out that while my dad was driving home after dropping me off at the airport, the digital gods of international telecommunications finally delivered the briefest text message. As a result, my father's Fisher-Price-style mobile phone had screamed for its life in his breast pocket. The vibration had startled him and he looked at the screen. Convinced I was currently expiring on the departures floor, my retired expat parent pulled a handbrake turn that would have impressed any getaway driver after robbing El Banco Local, is that right?
Yeah, that'll work, yeah.
He abandoned his car in the middle of a terminal drop-off lane, sprinted to security and screamed that his son was having a heart attack. The airport security formed a rapid response search party with the airport's police, medical professionals and airline staff to find a slumped and motionless 27-year-old. They assumed I was in the throes of a medical catastrophe. I wasn't. I was just watching the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh.
My father said he received a text message from me, and it was at that point that I remembered... Oh, that text.
Oh, yes.
My father's mortified face is still something I see when I close my eyes every night. I was very close to being escorted to my gate by the very annoyed hombres with handguns who didn't appreciate my desperate explanation in pidgin Spanglish what network latency actually meant. I don't know what it means.
Let's say that's something to do with the text message taking
so long.
I seek forgiveness from the collective for wasting the resources of the Spanish Interior Ministry, for nearly giving my father the very condition I joked about, and for being the kind of person who thought an Alcatel phone was a comedy prop.
Ah.
It's a very, very much a period piece. From 2001, he's got a Nokia 3310 and slightly arrogant, as he says, is disconnected. Dean, Sister Susie, what do you say?
Well, I just think this is silly, Dean. I don't like, it's just not even funny, really. Even if your dad had received it like straight away, you were in a different room. He still would have thought you were having a heart attack. He still would have had the same panic. And for that reason, Dean, I'm sorry, I can't forgive you.
I mean, it does sound as though, I guess the father behaved the way any father would.
Yes.
Leaving the car in the drop-off lane, off we go, come on, civil guard, let's get this sorted.
Yes.
What do you say, Matt?
Can I be alone in thinking that maybe it's the telephone networks to blame for this? If they're with their latency and everything else, if they'd actually delivered the text when he sent it, then it would have been just funny, wouldn't it? He sat in the bar finding it very funny, but instead it took forever to get sorted out. So, yes, I'm going to forgive. And nice to see the Guardia Civil getting a little mention there. Well done to them.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
And that brings us to the end of this week's Confessions Podcast. And what a winner. It's been one of the finest, I think. If you have a tale to add to it, then send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matthew for this week's secret code phrase.
Billions gold stars. That's my catchphrase for this week.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to have an S on the end.
Has to have an S.
Billions gold stars. You'll feel a bit of a Herbert when you're typing
it. You will.
If you made it this far, then you can post it to Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads and Instagram, or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky, or Matt Williams on the Filth Channel.
On the Filth.
On the Filth.
Remember to leave us a 5-star review. Don't forget to share this podcast with a friend in the bath anytime you like. We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of confessions. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From a tech cupboard, Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye!
Thank you for listening. We'll be back very soon.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Lights.
Sorry.
Camera. Action.
Action.
Turn on your lights, Suze, please. Don't just sit there in the dark.